welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of lessons out of the book of Jeremiah. So go get your Bible and get close to your radio as we take a deeper look in the book.
That God is on his way back. Jesus is on his way back. It's when you see God going to the extreme to make points, to get people attention, you know God is on his way back. See, Jeremiah, and we're going to find out, Jeremiah prophesied about 40 years before the downfall of Israel. Actually, about 20-some years, and then Israel, Judah, the nation of Judah, fell. But God had to use dramatic illustrations in order to get the people's attention, because they weren't listening to the preacher. But if a preacher show up in just some dirty underwear, everybody, you know, why is you wearing dirty underwear? He said, because God said your life is dirty. Amen. And you getting ready to go into captivity. And see, when you go, if you're going to be a prisoner in the promised land, are you getting ready to be a prisoner? Then prisoners, they don't care if they got clean underwear on. Well, in this day and age, they do. But I'm saying, if Russia or somebody came in and took over our country, they wouldn't care if you had clean underwears. So that's what God was telling them, that your life are dirty, and this is how you getting ready to look. Yeah. Right now you may have clean underwears, but you getting ready to go into captivity, and you're not going to have no clean underwear. All because you living dirty lives. Now, that's a powerful sermon right there, isn't it? Yeah. All right. Let's go on a little bit further here. The man, Jeremiah. Who was this man, Jeremiah? Who was this man? He was one of the greatest prophets because not only did he prophesy to the nation of Israel, but he prophesied to the nations. Most prophets, they was called to speak to a particular group of people. Normally, they was either called to speak to the northern 10 tribes of Israel or the two southern tribes, which was Judah's. But God raised this man up where he prophesied to the nations. Not only did he tell Judah what was going to happen to them, but he told these other nations what was going to happen to them. As a matter of fact, a lot of the prophecy of Jeremiah, we are still waiting on it to happen even in our day and coming days. So he was something similar to Isaiah. You know, Isaiah, he saw what was happening in his day, present, but then he looked way into the future. And he prophesied, you know, even the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, and even passed that to the second coming of Christ. Well, Jeremiah, he's going to see this second coming of Christ. And so we're going to look at that even tonight. But let's go on a little bit further. Jeremiah was a great prophet. Matter of fact, when Jesus showed up, Jesus says, who do folks say that I am? Over in Matthew chapter 16, verse 14. He said, who do folks say that I am? And they say, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. And they say, some say that you are even Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. So Jeremiah was a great prophet of God. If when Jesus showed up, folks would kind of confuse him with Jesus. So Jeremiah was a great prophet of God. He spoke for God in a very difficult time for 40 years. He prophesied for 40 years. And what he did for about 20 years, he told his nation that y'all better straighten up unless judgment is coming. Now, keep in mind, while he was preaching condemnation, all of the other preachers was preaching prosperity, that God ain't gonna let nothing happen to us. We God's chosen people. You can name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, you know, get all the gusto that you want, what have you. Nothing gonna happen to us. You know, we blessed. You know, God done brought us in the promised land, and we are here to stay. We ain't gonna ever leave out of this promised land. Jeremiah was saying, yes, y'all are. If y'all don't straighten up, God said he kicking you out of the promised land. And so for 20 years, he did that. And then in 598 B.C., see, Jeremiah started prophesying 627 B.C. That's when God called him, 627 B.C. So 627 years before the birth of Christ, Jeremiah started prophesying. So for almost 30 years, he was telling them, y'all better straighten up. Y'all better straighten up. They didn't straighten up. And so in 598, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and Babylon is in what nation today? Iraq. Yeah, so the king of Babylon came over to Jerusalem, and guess what he done? He took all of the rich and political people, educated people. Daniel was a little boy. He went into deportation. He went into captivity. And then in 586, the people, they still didn't straighten up. So in 586 B.C., what's that, about 14 years later, the people, another group of people went. And anytime Nebuchadnezzar came, he came and he got the rich folks, the educated people. He got them that was powerful, and he took them on back. But they still didn't straighten up. And so 582 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar came back again, and then he basically got almost everybody except the poor people and the downtrodden, those, you know, that wasn't a threat anymore to his kingdom. Because in his mind, he said, I ain't coming back over here no more. And so he left them with all the poor. Now, you think about why Jeremiah's ministry was so hard. Do you think folks like Jeremiah? All the rest of the preachers were saying, hey, you know, get all the gusto that you want. Go after it. Go for it. That's what all the other preachers was preaching. But Jeremiah saying, y'all better straighten up unless God says he's going to in this other nation. When in other people's mind, that other nation is worse than us, so how can they come over here and tell us what I do? But God often used bad folks to whoop up on bad folks. That's how God work. That's how God work. And so we see that Jeremiah, he was not that popular. Now, what would you think if a preacher got on television, and you know how Christian television is today, and, you know, they come on there with positive stuff, you know, uplifting stuff that, you know, everybody look pretty, you know, they before the makeup crew and all of that, you know, before you go out on stage, you got to get all made up and stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You got to get all made up. And you know, when you see these people without their makeup on, makeup works wonders, don't it? Yeah, you know, when you see somebody, I won't call some of the rich and famous people out on saw, but I say, you know, you don't look like that on television. It kind of smooth them bumps and stuff. But what would you think? A preacher got on there and all the rest of the preachers was preaching prosperity and how God is going to bless America and stuff. But this preacher got on there and said, God said that he's going to send China over here. He's sending China if we don't straighten up. If we don't straighten up, he's sending China. And so every time that preacher get on there, that's all he preach about. You know, America, y'all didn't straighten up. And so every time he get up there, he just keep preaching the same thing, keep preaching the same thing. Kind of like this new preacher that went to this church. And so he got up once morning, his sermon, and he preached about repent. You know, y'all need to repent. Next Sunday, he came with the same message. Y'all need to repent. His same message. Next Sunday, he came with the same message. And so the people started getting kind of concerned about this preacher, saying, ain't got any more sermons. And so, you know, the next sermon, you know, he came with the same text. It was the same text, same title, everything was the same. He preached the same message. And so the deacons said, you know, we're going to have to get with him, you know, because the deacons' wives started talking to the deacons. And, you know how it is when the deacon's wives start talking to the deacons. And so the deacons, they said, we've got to get with the pastor. And so they said, if he preached that message one more time. And sure enough, he preached that one more time. And so they met with him after church. And they said, Pastor, we're not so much trying to tell you what to preach, but don't you have any other messages besides this little one message you done preached that about 5 or 6 times every Sunday that you done been here? He said, yeah, I got plenty more sermons. He said, but why should I change? Because y'all ain't even obeying this one. Yeah. That's kind of how Jeremiah was. He just kept basically saying the same thing because the people weren't really obeying. Now, see, if a preacher done that, said China was coming, and everybody just ignored it, he kept preaching, China is coming. Then all of a sudden, China came over one day. And they took all, everybody who had good jobs, everybody that was had good money, working at the good factories and had good jobs, and all the educated. If you had an F on the report card, now we don't want you, but everybody that made A's and B's, they took all our children and stuff, all the smart ones. But we still didn't straighten up. And then China came back again. 10 years later, they came back. And they done the same thing. Took all the rich folks and folks that had money, all the educated folks, went on back. Don't you think we should straighten up? But human nature said, no. Because just think, when 9/11 happened, y'all remember 9/11? It happened on a Tuesday. Boy, the churches was packed that Sunday. Yeah, the trustees say, Pastor, look like we're going to have to hurry up and, you know, get the building fund, you know, because we got to build another building. I said, well, let's just wait a couple of weeks and see. And sure enough, matter of fact, we didn't even have to wait a couple of weeks. Once folks found out Jesus wasn't coming back that following week, they said, oh, okay, you know, we can go on back. We got a little more time to play around. A little more time to go to the riverboat. Yeah, but something like that could happen. Do you know why I say something like that could happen to America? Because when you read the book of Revelation, you read about Russia. You even read about, it seems like it's China. You read about those northern countries like of Africa, like Ethiopia, those countries. You'll read about them, Egypt, you'll read about them, but you won't read about America. Why is that? Some don't seem to be quite right there. As powerful as America is, did God just say, oops, I forgot about them, you know, to put America in there? Or is America going to be done, got swallowed up into something else? Yeah. I think we probably going to probably unite with a couple of more nations and it'll be something else. Yeah. Just like right now, you know, America and Canada and Mexico trying to form, you know, trade agreements and stuff, NAFTA and all of that. Yeah. In order to try to compete with China. Most people are trying to compete with China. Yeah. All right, let's go a little bit further. So this man, Jeremiah, he prophesied before the destruction. He prophesied during the destruction. And he prophesied after the destruction. I say that when I write my commentary on the book of Jeremiah, I'm going to talk about the last man standing. Because Jeremiah was the last man standing. He saw the White House burn down, so to speak. You know, he saw the temple burn down. He saw the king palace burn down. You know, how would you feel if you woke up one morning and the White House on fire? And they done took the president. They done took all the congressmen, the senators, and they showing them they like slaves. That's what Jeremiah was talking about would happen. And it happened. It happened. All right, let's go on a little bit further. Can we go a little bit further? All right. Jeremiah, he was born in a priestly family. He was born in a priestly family. According to verse number one, his family, he come from a family of priests. So that would make him a priest. Eventually, he was going to become a priest. But he was chosen to be a prophet. God said, no. I don't want you to just be a priest. I'm calling you to be a prophet. Now, what's the difference between a prophet and a priest? A priest, he faced this way. He speaks to God on behalf of the people. The prophet, it turns the other way. He speaks on behalf of God to the people. All right. Do you see? Now, why did God need a prophet? He already had priests. He had a bunch of priests. Priests can easily be bought. Hello, somebody. Priests can easily be bought because they around the people, and it's kind of like today. It's kind of like today. Some of those preachers at those big churches, they got to be very careful. And I shouldn't say just big churches, because even at the lit church, he's got to be careful on what he say. Because if he step on the wrong toes there, he going to end up losing his job. And so even though he know them people and them is living all kind of ways, he better not talk about their sin. Unless he's not going to be there for long. So the priest is often part of the system. And so he done got caught up in the system. And so what God normally does, God brings a prophet, somebody who's not a part of the system, and tell the system that you're wrong. Yeah. See, it's hard to tell the system wrong when you're getting money from the system. You see what I'm saying? Hello, somebody. Amen. So what God does, God often have a double barrel attack. Whenever his preachers and his deacons, which is like the priests and the Levites, you know, the priests and the Levites in the Old Testament, then in the New Testament you got the pastors and you got deacons. But whenever they go astray, God have somebody on the outside. He have somebody, you know, like a Billy Graham, somebody that ain't getting paid down there at First Baptist Church. You see, he ain't getting this money down there at the church. And so he's outside of the system. Amen, amen, amen. So, and God still have prophets, but not in the sense like Jeremiah, those kinds of prophets, not in the technical sense. But he still have, where, you know, they have the office of a prophet, but he still have people that will speak as a prophet on the outside. I'm not talking about somebody that's going to write another book of the Bible like Jeremiah. I'm clear about that. I don't want somebody, because if you see somebody that got a book of Benegration, say, Benegration, I ain't never heard of that book of Benegration. I know God just gave it to me. So, you know, the book of Benegration. No, my Bible stopped at Revelation. Well, my pastor, he said, no, I didn't say that. Amen. So we don't have those kinds of prophets that are speaking in terms of divine revelation where God is using them to write another book. It's finished. And matter of fact, the book of Revelation tells us, you know, don't add nothing to it and don't take nothing away unless you're going to get some of these curses in this book. And I sure don't want none of these curses in this book. All right. He was called to be a prophet to the nation according to verse number 5. It says here, look at 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, I formed thee in the belly. I knew thee, and before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto what? The nations, not just to Judah, but to the nation. So he had a powerful ministry. But he was forbidden to marry. I say he was forbidden to, well, let me show you that, because y'all ain't saying, pastor just talking. No, I ain't just talking. I'm getting this out the Bible. Look at what it says in chapter 16. Boy, oh, I ain't never heard Bibles turning like that. Everybody trying to find that part. Put that in the Bible. He didn't want him to get married. Amen. Look what it says. Verse number 1. The word of the Lord came also to me, saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughter in this place. Amen. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons, concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land, they shall die of grievous death. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung. Oh, my goodness. Upon the face of the earth, they shall be consumed by the sword, by famine. Their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. He said, Jeremiah, I don't want you to get married. Now, do you understand why now he didn't want him to get married? Because God says that I'm getting ready to bring judgment on this place, and I don't want you to go through what they're going through. They're going to be crying over their husbands that's dead, wives that's dead. He says, so I'm sparing you some pain. Amen. Sparing you some pain. If you know you was getting ready to marry somebody, but they weren't going to be around here long, and then they weren't going to have no decent burial.
Bread of life sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.